we're going to take our Bible, and I want to turn to the last letter tonight written by the Apostle Paul in your inspired, divinely preserved Bible, the King James Bible. And the words I'm reading to you tonight were written by Paul to his preacher, trainee, and son in the faith, Timothy. And I'm using these words as my text that Paul wrote to Timothy in his last letter that was inspired and preserved in the canon of Scripture. So please take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to use verse 8 as our text. I'm going to preach a textual topical message tonight. Textual topical message tonight from that Scripture. And Paul is writing these words just before he was going to be executed by the Roman Caesar. Caesar Nero. He was going to be executed in Rome, Italy. Now keep in mind, he's writing these words from a dank, chilly, dark, moist prison right near the Tiber River. My oldest daughter's been to Italy a few times, and she likes to travel. But that is not a pleasant place to be. I don't like early March weather when it's dank, not dank, but when it's moist and cold and wet. A lot of times St. Patty's Day, I don't like the weather on St. Patty. But he was living in that kind of a tomb, if you will. The Mamertine prison there, right by the Tiber River. Very, very moist and cold. And there he was there, and the time is about AD 68. And I want you to listen tonight to the words of the Apostle Paul as he's writing to this young preacher that he knows will continue when he's gone. He's just about ready to be offered up. And he says these words, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." So he's writing to Timothy now, and he's saying, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that's Jesus Christ, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. And he's saying this, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul is speaking of his own suffering. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He's saying that he's not embarrassed to be associated with the Lord Jesus and his gospel message that brought him into suffering, that brought him into jail. And he is saying that he's had the power of the Holy Spirit working through him to preach and teach these things and to lead others to Christ. And it's brought him major blowback from Satan. Can I say this? If you're walking and witnessing in the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to expect Satan will give you blowback. He will blow back. And he was getting that blowback now, but he's telling Timothy, you don't be ashamed to do what I've done. You do what I've done. And he knew that Timothy might be tempted to be timid and to draw back and not to speak out boldly for Christ and to identify himself even with the Apostle Paul, because Paul was in big trouble now and he was arrested. And he was going to be killed by the Roman government. And he didn't want Timothy to be ashamed of the kind of life he was living and the stand he was taking. And he knew Timothy was tempted. He knew Timothy's weakness. And I believe he was writing to help him. And if that helped Timothy, perhaps it'll help you tonight. And I believe Timothy might be tempted to be unpopular. He might be tempted that he would lose financial support if he didn't trim the message a little bit. He might be tempted to lose friends and to be afraid of losing friends. And even worse, to lose his freedom and be arrested and then to lose his life. And so Paul was writing to him so that he would stick with the full message of the Lord that Paul had taught him and not back off from Paul. So from this text that I just read to you, there are two things with which I believe tonight you should never be ashamed or afraid to identify yourself if you're walking in the power of God. One, never be ashamed or afraid to testify of your faith in Jesus Christ and His gospel of good news of the gift of eternal life that He died to give people. The other is, you should not be ashamed of the man of God who may be a lightning rod of attack from the enemies of the Lord and His message. And my message tonight was, don't be ashamed or afraid. And I'm preaching this message so that you will not be overcome by the temptation to draw back, to be ashamed, to stand up and to speak up for the Lord, and also that you wouldn't be ashamed to stand with God's man when he's going through the kind of hard times that Paul was going through. And remember the text, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And I want to say, number one, don't be ashamed or afraid like Peter, who slid away from the Lord. Don't be ashamed or afraid like Peter, who slid away from the Lord. Because I want to tell you tonight that Satan wants you to be ashamed and afraid like Peter. He wants you to give up on the Lord. He wants you to give up on the man of God who's serving the Lord. He wants you to give up on the church that is standing for the Lord and not be locked in. You see, I remember when Brother Jose Valley was coming to church, and I've said this many times, but it bears repeating again tonight. I said, if Jose ever gets locked in, he'll do something for God. And you know what? There came a point when he got locked in, and he's been doing something for God. I would have you not just not to be ashamed, but to really lock in. Yeah. And many of you are locked in tonight. And I thank God you are locked in and you are tied in and, you know, you're belted in. Like when they put you on a roller coaster and they go click, 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 and you're belted in, and that means you're on for the ride. Amen. I want you to get click, 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 belted in tonight. I want you to get in tonight. Get out or get off. Get in or get out. Don't hang on and be a spectator. Get into this thing. Get with this thing. Get with God. Get all the way in. That's what God wants tonight. And if you do that, my friend, you will get blessed by Almighty God. And Paul was in, my friend. And Timothy, he was in, but he didn't want Timothy half in and half out. He didn't want him to kind of draw away, you know, like people do. They kind of get in and they leave one service and they leave another. And pretty soon you don't see him at all. And they get partway into bus ministry and partway out. And they get partway. Do it all the way. If you're going to do it all the way. Not halfway. And so don't do like Peter, who slid away from the Lord, because I want to tell you, Satan wants you to do that. Satan wants to pull you away. He wants to do like a lion, separate you from the herd, and when he's got you out there, bit you like he gets a gazelle and kill him and kill that deer out there. No, you're not supposed to be a Lone Ranger Christian. You're supposed to be in there. And you know, Jesus warned Peter, and I'm going to warn you tonight. He wants to get you separated. Simon, he said, Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know what Satan desires to have you? Right. When he sees you locked in, when he sees you in an independent fundamental Baptist church, I'm not talking about some charismatic half-baked thing. I'm talking about into the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And you're in there all the way. And he wants you to pull away. He desires you. And he said, notice Peter said, Simon, Simon. One of the men tell me, why? Come on, brother. One of the men tell me, why did he say Simon, Simon? You know what his name was. We'll stop right here. We'll do it.
Simon was his name before the Lord met him and gave him a new name.
Amen. Take it back. That was his old name, Simon. It represented Simon, his old nature. You know, we all have two natures. If you're saved, you have two natures. If you're not saved, you only have one. It's your old nature that you got from Adam. You ever heard of the old man? My old man? My old man is Adam. Your old man is Adam. We're born from Adam. And we got that old nature. And that, listen, if you feed that old nature, it's going to get really strong in your life. And he was calling Peter Simon because he knew Peter was feeding the old nature. He knew Peter was depending upon that old Simon, not on the Lord. And so he was warning him. And he said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And by the way, Satan wants you if you're locked in. By the way, Job was what? Locked in. And so when you get locked in, Satan wants to get you. And he tried to get Job. And he told God. He said, you know, Job serves you, but you give him some trouble and he won't serve you. And Satan was turned loose on Job and he was allowed to give him all kind of trouble, but he couldn't defeat him. But when Peter, when Satan got after Peter, wow, he could take him down. And so you need to be warned of that tonight. And if you're not going to slide away like Peter did, you have to realize what keeps you going. And here's what the Lord said to Peter. He said, but, I like this, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know what? If you are saved through faith. But it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Faith comes by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, and you believe in the Lord that he saves you. You don't save yourself. The Lord saves you. And even the faith that you have is a gift of God. And Jesus said, I prayed for your faith, that your faith does not fail. Galatians 2:20 says that you're crucified with Christ, and your faith is the faith not only in the Son of God, but it's of the Son of God. And so you need your faith strengthened so that you will not slide away from Jesus. And faith is strengthened, what? By the Word of God. And that's why, by the way, you need to read your Bible every day and pray every day. You need to come to church. You need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening. When you say, God deals with my heart when you're preaching, preacher. I hope so. He should. And therefore, you should be here every time I open this book. Why? You need it. You need your faith strengthened. And you know what? The Lord is praying for you. If you're saved, Jesus is right now in heaven. Father, Father, strengthen that brother's faith. Strengthen that sister's faith. Satan wants them. He wants to attack them. And he will pray that God will uphold your faith. So you're not ashamed. And you're not half in and half out trying to slip away. And another thing he will use is older, more mature believers to keep you from doing what Peter did. And what does sometimes young men do? They kind of get away from the preacher. They get away from the church. And they're out there and they're getting snookered by Satan. He snookers you. He gets you out there alone. But older men who are locked in, they can help you. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Here's what Jesus also told Peter. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan wants you. But he also told him, he said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now, when he says converted, he doesn't mean when you get saved. He was already saved. The moment he believed on the Lord, he was saved. But he meant by converted, the word converted means to be turned around. You're going this way, and he turns you around. And Peter was going to go away from the Lord. And, you know, he said, I go a-fishing. He went away from the Lord. And the Lord just met with him and turned him right back around. So he came back and he got locked in. Amen. But he said, Peter, when you get converted, turned around and get locked in, you strengthen your brethren. I'm an older man now. I'm locked in. And I can strengthen you, younger people, to get locked in, right? And tell you, you need to get locked in. And you young ladies, same thing. And older ladies can help you to get locked in, as well as older men in the Lord. And I'm just saying to you, you need to get locked in. And that's what the Lord told Peter. When you get locked in, you need to strengthen these younger believers. And Peter, by the way, did that. He was able to write 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and it is an encouragement. Now listen to me. You need to know your weaknesses. We have weaknesses, and Satan will play on your weakness to get you to slide away from the Lord. All right? Look up here and look at me. This is where the action is, right there. You need to know that Satan knows your weaknesses, and you will slide away from the Lord once he puts his finger on your weakness. I did that to Marlene tonight. I went and touched her shoulder. And she goes, you know my shoulder got broke. And I touched it again. I felt bad when I did it. But anyway, then I took my left hand and I prayed for her shoulder to heal it. Amen. But Satan knows your weakness. And he'll put his finger right on it. Because he knows how to get you to slide away from the Lord. And so he will do that. Now, I'm thinking in the Old Testament of the tribe of Benjamin. And the tribe of Benjamin, they had a strength. Remember Benjamin? He was named, and his name was son of my what? Son of my what? Right hand. He was the son of Jacob's right hand. But the tribe of Benjamin, they fought in battles and they got their right hand broken. They got their right hand disabled. They couldn't use their right hand. So what did they do? They developed their left hand. And they were using the slingshot. And they had become so proficient by developing their left hand. And I'm just saying, when Satan knows your weakness and he gets you, you need to develop strength to defeat him. And here's what it says. Among all the people, there were 700 chosen men of Benjamin. It says, of the children of Benjamin, left-handed, everyone could sling a stone at a hair breadth and not miss. In other words, a hair, he could hit a hair from a long distance with that sling with his left hand. And you know what? God wants you to develop what might be something weak, like your left hand is weaker than your right hand, but now it becomes strong. And God wants you to know when Satan exposes a weakness in your life, he wants you to strengthen that area. How many know your weakness? You got a weakness in your life. Amen. And Satan knows it. And so I challenge you tonight that God wants you where you're weak to be strong. And, you know, I had a tendency to compromise. You say, well, Pastor, you're not a compromiser. You stand firm. But I had a tendency, I found out, to compromise. And I did that when I was a young preacher. I started to compromise to get popular with more people, to win more people, but it was really compromise. It was me trying to win people, not letting the Lord do it. And the Lord showed me that is your weakness. And ever since I learned that was my weakness, I tried to develop a strength where I don't compromise on the Bible, Don't compromise on standards. Don't compromise on confrontational soul winning. Don't compromise on Bible convictions. And I'm just saying that don't be like Peter, who slid away from the Lord because Satan found his weakness and got him in that area because he was not strong. And so he wants to use older men in your life to strengthen you so that you will take a stand and stay with God and not slide away like Peter. I think of Joe Slobodnik. He's a good guy to know. I think Cody Bajeski should stick with Joe Slobodnik in the church. I think that's a good older man. Why? Because Joe Slobodnik is what? Locked in. How long has he been locked in for?
A long time.
A long time. Amen. A long time. 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, a millennium, I don't know. It's been a long time. But listen, that's good for Peter. Jesus said, you're going to get older someday, and you're going to strengthen that weakness after Satan takes you down. Listen, after Satan takes you down and gets your weaknesses, now you know your weakness. You might have thought, I'm not weak in that area. Do you think Peter thought he was weak? No. Peter said, no, I'm ready to die for you. I'm not weak. I'm strong. If there's anybody that's locked in, Peter said, it's me. I'm your right-hand man, Jesus. And the devil said, yeah, you think so. And Jesus said, you think you're my right-hand man? He said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice, Peter. You're not locked in. He knew it. And he said, watch and pray. Peter's weakness was that he thought he didn't need prayer. And he didn't recognize, he didn't have a good private prayer life. I wonder how good your private prayer life is. You're only as good as your private prayer life. All failures are prayer failures. Peter was all out there with people. Peter was great with people. You know, I see people, they're good with people. And that's not bad to have social abilities. But I'll tell you, when Satan comes a hunting for you, that doesn't do you anything. You need to have a walk with God like Enoch. You need to have a prayer life. And Peter had that prayer life. Later, after that, he developed that, you see. And he became humble. Before that, Peter was what? Proud. I'm not going to fall. Jesus said, you're not praying, Peter. You're going to fall. And Peter fell. And then he was humble. And he realized, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He told young people in 1 Peter 5. You see, he was able to help others. I think of ladies. I think of Patty Geary. She's a good example of a more mature lady, let's say that, Patty. And I remember Patty as a young lady, and she had a strength, and her strength was loyalty. She would be loyal to her church, loyal to the man of God. And she was locked in to stay here, but after we went through a tremendous battle, she had to face some of the people that left the man of God and left the church, and she had to face them on the job and so forth, and it wore on her over time. And plus, she was lonely and looking to get married, and that was used by Satan to pull her away from the church, pull her away from the man of God, and everything. And God showed mercy, and she got married to Steve. He got saved. Now he's a deacon in the church. But even when she was out there, people would text her and say, I see you got away from that church. Good. And she wanted them, people wanted her to gossip about the church. And Patty would forward me their text and then forward me what she said to them and said, it had nothing to do with the man of God or the church. I left for my own weakness. So she stuck with it. But she knows and she's learned certain things by going through what we went through, the battles we've gone through. And she's able to teach younger women to stay with it, to stay with their commitments to God. And we need folks like that so they don't slide away from the Lord like Peter. Amen. And I like it when my wife is here. My wife has been with this for many years. Patty's always there on a ladies' night when our ladies' fellowship is there. And she's a good example of being locked in and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be ashamed or afraid like Peter and slide away from the Lord. Number two, don't be ashamed or afraid like people that slide away from preachers that are taking the heat. You know, you heard Harry Truman say, if you can't take the heat, Brother Joe, get out of the what? Get out of the kitchen. Are you ever in the kitchen? Yeah, he's in the kitchen. He can take the heat. And but you know, he said, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. I found out being a pastor, I didn't want to be a pastor because I saw pastors take the heat. And I said, I don't want to be in that kitchen. I don't want to be there. But you know what? I've been there and I've had to go through it at different times. And but I have found out when I'm going through attack sometime. And I've gone through three major attacks in the course of my ministry. I think Brother Hiles had three as well. But I think of that, and I think about when I went through those times. I remember I had a young preacher in the 1980s that went to Baptist Bible. He was in this church. He wasn't a youth pastor then. Later he became our youth pastor, but then he wasn't. And I remember when he saw me going through the attacks I was going through from people in the church that were being liberals, Brother Jesse, they were being liberals. And he said, I'm getting out of here. And he left. And he stayed away. And when I fought the battle and he saw I won the battle and the church was growing again, he came back. At least he came back, amen. And then he learned to stay with the man of God through the battles. He went through another battle with me. This time he stayed with me. And guess what? When he became a senior pastor, he had to go through some battles. And I encouraged him and prayed for him. And he shared, and he stood right in there. He did not budge. And he was able to stay with that church and help that church. And so I'm saying to you, don't be ashamed or afraid like people who slide away from preachers during the battle, during the hard times. I can remember Dr. Jack Hiles when he was being used. And in 1986, I went to pastor school and was filled with the Holy Spirit and came back here. And we had 10 years of growth. Many preachers all over the world, missionaries and pastors, had great soul winning churches because of the ministry of the pastor school. And men were called to preach there. I mean, it was great. Brother Joe, you remember it. It was great. And I remember after that a man was a editor of a paper. It was called The Biblical Evangelist. And he wrote a scandal article on my hero, Dr. Jack Hiles. And it went all over the nation, scandalous. And he put it all out there. And I remember somebody said instead of the biblical evangelist, it should have been called the biblical inquirer. You know, he put that out there. And you know what? I remember the editor of this paper. He was a famous man. And I remember I was in a church in Clark Summit called Summit Baptist Bible Church. And the pastor at that time was a guy named Don Strange. Anybody ever heard of Don Strange? He was just a pastor. And Don Strange was the pastor. And he said, someday I'm going to die and be buried. He's probably buried now. He said, somebody's going to go by my grave and he's going to say, that's strange. That was Don Strange. He was from the South. And I really liked him. And he was somebody, he got on some people's toes because he was a soul winning and he was an independent fundamental Baptist, you know. And so anyway, he liked me. And he had this editor of this biblical evangelist paper. And he was going to take him out to lunch. And I was a college student. He said, do you want to go? I said, do I want to go? This is great. I get to go out with this guy and the pastor. And I went out, we had lunch, and I remember this guy talking, and all I could think about is he's a very little man. He's a very little man. I was not impressed with him at all, because all he did was run down people. That's all he did all lunch, run down people. And I was not, he didn't say anything positive, anything he was doing for God, you know, just run down people. And then there was Jack Hiles, who I went there to pastor school, and I just thought, this is a great man of God. He's got a cause way above him. And I was amazed, and I was blessed, and so many people blessed. And when that little man wrote that article, I went to seminary. I was taking seminary classes, and Dr. Bixby was over the college or over the seminary at that time, and he was teaching a class I was taking, and he said, I don't know if this is true or not, what's written in this biblical evangelist about this man, Jack Hiles. He said, I don't know if it's true or not, but it doesn't make any difference whether it's true or not. His ministry is finished. It's done because of all the stuff that was blabbed in that paper. And you know what? When it came time to go to pastor school, after that, I went there to pastor school and expected to see nobody there but just me and a couple people. But there were a lot of people there, thousands of people there. And I remember God blessing my life then and after that. And I want to say to you that I thank God that I stayed with the man of God while he was going through the heat. And you know what? That's your best course. You stay with the man of God when he's going through the heat, unless it is proven clearly that he is away from God. And I'm so thankful I stuck with that, and I made a wise decision. May God help you to do that same thing. And you know what? I think of people that great men of God, they great preachers, they're afraid to say their name if they're under attack. I am not afraid to say a great man of God's name when he's under attack. Just remember the sword of the Lord in Gideon. It was not only the sword of the Lord, it's the sword of Gideon. Just remember, when the devil attacks, he attacks God's men because he wants you to get away from the convictions that they're pushing, the standards that they're pushing, the truth from the Bible they're pushing. I know of men that listen to me carefully tonight, in Brother Hiles' lifetime, there were men that took solid stands where he took. But now that he's gone, those men have left those stands. And you know what their problem is? They've slid away. And part of the reason I believe they slid away is they don't have a relationship to this book like they should have. Because the things I got from Brother Hiles were not just Brother Hiles. They were my conviction. They are my convictions. And you see, when they're my convictions, I'm staying with them. And I'm not afraid to give credit where credit's due and who God has used. I'm just saying, Paul said, don't only be not ashamed of the Lord and of his testimony, but don't be ashamed of me. I'm going through the heat, Timothy. I'm going through the problem, Timothy. But stick with the man of God and take the heat, and you'll be blessed for doing that. Amen. And I have stuck with those standards that the old-time men of God. You know what a standard bearer is in battle? He holds on to the flag. He holds on to the flag. And the enemy's shooting. And what does the enemy try to do? They try to shoot the standard bearer. So the guy with the flag will fall down and the standard will fall to the ground. But when a standard bearer is hit, what is the job to do of another soldier? He's supposed to grab that standard and hold it up high and go with that standard and keep it going. And I've determined I'm going to do that for the great men of God. And you need to determine, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to hold up that standard that they have held up because it's God's. And thank God. And by the way, I am sick and tired of the communists in this country. Wherever you see a Marxist communist revolution, they always tear it all down. They tear down the statues of Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson. They stare. You say, well, those men weren't perfect. They're a lot better than you were. Amen. And they tear down these things. And eventually, they're tearing down these things. They're going to eventually tear down the American flag. Amen. They're going to tear down anybody in America. And they're going to say, oh, they're not good. Well, you think you're better? You know, a communist can tear stuff down, but he can't rebuild anything. Right. This country has been one of the greatest countries in the history because of the forefathers and the Constitution. And all they want to do is tear it down. And tear down the history and tear down the statues. Listen, that's a bunch of balderdash. Don't go along with that and slide away from the great men. And then don't be ashamed, not only and afraid like Peter who slid away from the Lord. Don't be ashamed or afraid like people that slide away from preachers who are taking the heat. But don't be ashamed or afraid like people who slide away from national leaders that are taking the heat. And let me just say it right now. God uses men to get his work done. And I believe God anoints men to do that. I look at Isaiah chapter 45, and God anointed an unsaved Persian ruler, and God anointed him to help his people rebuild their temple and go back to the land. God raised him up. Isaiah 45. I ask you, who was the 45th president of the United States? Donald John Trump. Just like God anointed Cyrus, he anointed him. There's a coin in Israel with Cyrus on the one side and Donald John Trump on the other. Israel knows that. And I know that. Now, I wasn't for Trump when he first started. I was pushing Ted Cruz. But somewhere along the line, I think about Indiana, I got the idea that God is raising up Donald Trump. This isn't Trump. This is God. He's doing something, and God wants to save America. We have a God Save America campaign coming. God wants to save America. I kind of got the idea. I didn't think that was happening, but then I saw it. And I remember a Christian man, he had said, he had made the statement that he believed that Donald Trump was raised up, listen to me, to bring God's judgment down on the systems of evil controlling America. And he believed that. And I heard that Christian man say that, and I said, you know what he's saying rings true. I believe that's right. He said, I believe Donald Trump is raised up to judge the media, which is a bunch of fake news. And he said, you shouldn't listen to the media. You shouldn't listen to the mainstream media. And I stopped listening to that garbage. And I listened to other sources of news. I just heard that Joe Rogan got saved. Is that his name? Joe Rogan? Do I got that right? The guy with 30 million, Bobby, is that right? Joe Rogan? Yes or no? Is that his name? All right, he got saved, I heard. I heard he just got saved. And that may be, but praise God for that. Tucker Carlson, I heard, got saved. And praise God. Notice Tucker Carlson got fired too. And but he still has many viewers of his podcast. I think something like 30 million viewers. And I'm praying for Elon Musk to get saved. Yeah. He could get saved. Why don't you pray for him to get saved? You say he's of the devil. Well, by their fruits you'll know them. Right now I like what he's doing. Yeah. And I'm just pray for him to get saved. I'm just praying. I'm just telling you. I listen to Alex Jones. I believe he's saved. He has saved people on there. He's not perfect. He's not fully sanctified yet. But he's got the truth in the news. And Donald Trump had it right. He said fake news. fake news. Now listen to me. There are preachers, they're afraid to take the heat of national leaders that God is using and say you ought to support these leaders because of what they're doing. I am not afraid to do that. Paul said, don't be afraid of the Lord, and don't be, you say some people are not like you. Do you know what? The black voters right now usually have about 3% to 5% for Republicans. And that's because so many Republicans are country club do-nothing people. But you know what? Donald Trump, they've gone to about 25% support. And it could go even higher because they see he's being indicted, he's being misrepresented and attacked. Why? Because he's attacking people that are not for America. They're a bunch of communists. They're a bunch of Marxists. And he's standing up for America. And so he is like Cyrus helping God's people. And he's helping God's people in that way by giving us freedom to preach and pray. And he's like Jehu, that Jehu judged the systems of evil and killed the house of Ahab. Amen. Remember when Jehu got them all in a tent and he said, we're having a big sacrifice to Baal. He said, everybody that worships Baal, you think Ahab was for Baal? Oh, Jehu's more for Baal. All you guys get in this tent, we're going to have a big Baal party. And all the Baal worshipers were like, yay! And then Jehu got his soldiers all around the tent. He said, when they try to come out of the tent, you kill every one of them. Don't let one get away or you're going to die. And so they started killing the Baal worshipers in the tent. When the ones that tried to get out, they stuck them too. You say, Pastor, do you want people killed in America? I want them legally tried and convicted for killing my father and others with their COVID jab. I want them tried and convicted for killing people in the United States. And I want Donald John Trump to be a Jehu to carry that out and to lead that. It's justice. And we need justice. And not only that, but I believe he raised him up like Nehemiah. And what did Nehemiah do? He built a wall. We need a wall. We need a wall to protect America from an invasion. And amen. Biden's not doing it. I call him O'Biden because he's taking orders from Obama, who's taking orders from Soros and all these people that sold out America. God help us. God save America. And don't be afraid to stand up and to speak up for people that are putting their life on the line. They've been arrested. Who was it? Whoopi Goldberg said we should arrest every Republican. In other words, everybody that's not going to go along with whoever the demon rat party brings up, we should go for them and we should arrest them. Where is that in the Constitution? Where is that, Whoopi? Don't be ashamed like Peter, who slid away from the Lord. Don't be ashamed like Luke. Like people, not Luke. Where's Luke? Is Luke here tonight? There's Luke. You're not lukewarm. You're Luke hot, right? Amen. All right. Don't be ashamed and afraid like people who slide away from preachers who are taking the heat. And don't be ashamed or afraid like people who slide away from national leaders who are taking the heat. And don't be ashamed or afraid to go through God's open door for the gospel. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. I am so thankful we get to go out with the gospel. I had a couple go out with me, Brenda and Steve Manning, and they went out Thursday night. And we went out to go to the German hotel, and we had a visit there, and they weren't home. We had another visit there, and they weren't home. And it was getting cold out at night. And I told Steve, I said, I don't like to be outside in the cold on a night like this giving the gospel. I said, we're going to go to our car and drive to where it's warm. I got a warm place. that we can give to God. And no sooner did we go out to our car, you could testify to it. A guy's walking down the road, and I said, oh, Lord, I know we're going to give him the gospel. He's coming to it. It's cold. We're going to be standing out here for a while. And so there's Steve and Brendan. There's me. And this guy comes up. His name is Keith, you know. And I said, hey, we're out as a church, and this is Steve and Brenda. I'm the pastor. I showed him the track. I said, we're out here. We're asking people two brief spiritual questions. Could you help us out by giving answers? Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, of course. I knew it. Okay. We asked him the two questions, and he answered them wrong. And I said, well, how would you like us to give the good news to you? And he said, I love it. Give me that good news. Of course. And we started giving him the good news. I said, what do you think about that? I want to get saved. Yeah, I'd like to get saved. So he prayed to receive Christ. Name is Keith. Works at the PNC Bank right downtown Scranton. We're following him up. Pray for him. Amen. But you know what? Don't be ashamed.
Amen.
And afraid because of the cold or whatever it is you're confronted with when you have an opportunity to go through God's open door. And when you have an opportunity to open your mouth, and we have opportunities in this church, don't we? Oh, you won't regret it if you get locked in and don't slide away like old Peter did, right? By the way, Peter, when he got back and stayed back. Amen. Peter was, tradition tells us, he was put on a cross. And he said, I'm not worthy to be put on the cross right side up. You turn it around and put me in upside down position. And he hung. And Peter, before they hung him, they did it to his wife. And Peter, who remember he left the Lord, and God said, when God strengthens you, you strengthen your brethren. When you're converted, you strengthen. And his wife was up there, and he said to his wife, honey, stay with it. Do not back down. Stay with it. Give it to Jesus. And she stayed with it, and she was martyred. And then Peter was martyred. And they're in heaven right now. Amen. And he's going to rule in the kingdom. Praise God. So don't be like Peter the first time and slide away. Don't be like people who slide away from preachers that are walking point and taking the heat. Stay with them. And don't be like those that don't stand with national leaders like Don John Trump who are taking the heat. Stay with it. And bring it through. And don't be ashamed of that gospel. Keep on standing up. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about